Protest. Complaining about the government. It's an American pastime. I'm Barrett Golding of Hearing Voices from NPR. This next hour, we'll go to protest marches, we'll hear protest music, and we'll start with some YouTube videos. When Congress went home in 2009, here's what they heard from constituents in their town halls.
Right-wing wacko.
And I don't want the government to do it for me.
There's gonna be a cold day in hell before he socializes my country.
They've decided that we're just stupid.
Stay away from my kids.
I have a question for this young man.
I want to know if it's coming out of my paycheck.
I have a question for this young man.
I want an answer to the question. Is the money coming out of my paycheck?
I have kept my oath. Do you ever intend to keep yours?
You don't listen to us. I call your office and I get placated. And we're tired of it. What are you going to do?
And nobody has done anything until today. And now it's being rammed down our throats. Now, I have contacted your office in the past when I have opposed anything. And I get back the standard email that says, thank you for your support. That's a bunch of bull.
Well, thank you. It's not your right to decide whether or not I keep my current plan or not. That's my decision.
No national health care! 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 No national health care!
Into the street. Black children. Black children. Moving, moving.
We're gonna free Bobby Seale.
Welcome to the new wave of feminism. Welcome to each other. Welcome home.
This is just one of many rallies held today to signal the beginning of the National Women's Conference.
We have to make changes.
We want to have control over our own bodies and our own destinies. That includes, of course, abortion on demand.
We're talking about abortion. It's against the law.
The Equal Rights Amendment should be ratified.
Solidarity Day was the first evidence that labor was ready to gamble on flat-out opposition to the Reagan program of tax cuts and budget shifts.
Look around you. You are not alone.
There was the sound of protest over what was called overwhelming red tape in releasing more money to fight AIDS.
If I'm dying from anything, I'm dying from the fact that not enough rich, white, heterosexual men have gotten AIDS for anybody to give it.
Talking about a million people coming together. This is the biggest unity call that's ever been called to the brothers here in North America.
It was the 1 million man march.
Your conduct is in violation of state and city law.
This is not free trade.
Plan is to take Seattle and have fun with it.
It's concentrated corporate power utilizing the governments of the world against us.
Broke windows at the Gap, they're smashing windows at McDonald's, they're dumping over garbage cans.
What I see going on here is a censorship of those rights before we have the chance to exercise those rights.
And your failure to leave the area now will subject you to arrest for failure to disperse.
today in Boston.
Concrete barriers, barbed wire.
It is a disgrace to the First Amendment that protest in some place in this town must take place within a steel cage. Surrounded by barbed wire.
Motion carried off the wall.
We want to show the world that we are not having it. We are not having another 4 years of George Bush and the Republicans.
People united, we'll all get arrested.
People united, we'll all get arrested.
Burma is a country in Southeast Asia, bordering Thailand, China, and India. The mighty Irrawaddy River runs through it, draining the Himalayas that lie to the north, emptying into the Bay of Bengal to the south. In the 1930s, when Burma was a British colony, it was the leading exporter of rice in the world. Today, it's one of the poorest countries in the world, ruled by a junta of xenophobic military generals. Today in the mountains along the borders, the military burns villages to the ground, systematically rapes women, and forces hundreds of thousands into slave labor camps. While in the cities such as Mandalay and Rangoon, every individual is kept under constant surveillance by a vast network of spies, watching and listening in public spaces, opening mail, tapping phone conversations, an Orwellian nightmare where people go to jail and get tortured for telling jokes and writing poems or for speaking the name of Aung San Suu Kyi. Aung San Suu Kyi is the democratically elected leader of the country who's been held under house arrest for most of the last 17 years, even when she won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1991. She lives alone in a house on the shore of Inya Lake in Rangoon, guards outside her gate. She has no telephone, no TV or radio. She has no mail coming in or going out. In the day, she hears the distant roar of traffic. At night, there are frogs. She meditates a lot and waits for a revolution. This music is by Iron Cross, the most popular band in Burma. They play American music with Burmese lyrics that first have to be approved by a board of censors. But then, with rock and roll, it's not so much what you say as how you say it. Rangoon, you hear Iron Cross songs on the radio in taxi cabs, coming out of apartment windows, in beauty salons and tea shops. Actually, there are a lot of bands in Burma playing American rock and roll, but most of it is lightweight pop, whereas Iron Cross plays and sings with raw emotion, so their music speaks to the soul. Iron Cross has power in a place where power is supposed to be the monopoly of the government. Young boys will tell you their hero is Chit Sang Mong, lead guitar for Iron Cross. They say he's the best guitar player in all of Asia, no question. And Lay Pew, the group's lead singer, is a heartthrob and perhaps the most admired celebrity in the country because he taunts the government at every opportunity. Once he put out a solo album called Power 54 and it was on the shelves and people were buying it, before the government realized 54 is Aung San Suu Kyi's street address. Another time, his hair was down to his waist, and the government told him to cut it, so he shaved his head. And then, a military officer asked him to perform at the wedding of his son, and Lay Pew said, "These are not our people," even though that's not actually true. The sons and daughters of the military junta are big Iron Cross fans, and they're the only ones who can afford to buy the t-shirts and CDs and tickets to the concerts. If Iron Cross was only popular with poor people, they would have been in jail a long time ago. This is a 2005 recording, actually a DVD of a live Iron Cross concert. It starts off with Lei Pew and Chitsan Mong playing acoustic guitars, standing back from the microphones, letting the audience sing along. Everyone in the audience knows the words, and it's clear they're of the upper class, young people with styled hair and designer clothes, and they're all singing like they're in church together. I'm not saying it's enough to start a revolution, but there is something here, a power beyond the control of the military junta. This past January, the Burmese government banned Lei Pew from performing, so he won't be singing this song in public anymore, at least not for a while. Chitsan Mong and the others in Iron Cross continue to perform and record, and they have a U.S. tour scheduled for this summer, but it's up to the Burmese government to decide whether they can leave the country or not. I hope they make it.
The music of Iron Cross, brought back to us by producer Scott Carrier from his 2006 trip to Burma. Ann Hepperman and Kara Oler made that montage of a half century of protest sounds. And the music under those town hall meetings was by Jeff Arnston. Lucky Dragons made this mashup of field recordings from 2003 anti-war protests. You can download it at hawksandsparrows.org. I'm Barrett Golding of Hearing Voices. In fall 2009, President Obama flew into my hometown, Bozeman, Montana. He gave a healthcare talk in an airplane hangar. I went down to the airport not to see him, but to see the protesters. They were a half mile away in a field, what the police called a free speech zone. The local Tea Party had reserved it, but a bunch of single-payer advocates also showed up. There were dueling megaphones, simul-chanting, and even some level-headed discussions. I'd call it a day of democracy.
Well, how far do they legally have? The northeast corner?
Actually, yeah. I think they've got this square right here. They were expecting 4,000 people.
Right.
So
okay.
We have to facilitate.
But now we can actually go to the next thing that's cordoned off.
Yeah, the next thing that's cordoned off, go to that and you'll be golden, okay?
Okay.
And stay nice. We love you.
We won.
Protest. Yeehaw. But let's all be good. I'm the chief of police at the airport. Protests are done by permit, but we've cordoned them off the best we could to avoid any conflicts, okay? And so we're trying to facilitate everything. That's why we've mowed it all. We've got the porta-potties out. We want to give you your opportunity to be here, but obviously we can segregate you. And it is airport property, so if you fight, we will remove you.
I'm from Montanans for Single Payer, and what's going on is that the president is here. So we got here at 7 this morning, and we've been standing on the corner since, standing here with our signs.
Single payer advocates have been shut out of the national dialogue. We're so outgunned monetarily, this is what we have to do, wave signs.
Well, the sign says socialism eventually runs out of other people's money. The other side says American dream, earn it. That's the way I grew up.
2 years ago, if you would have told me that government will be running the banking system, American car companies, the financial system, and instead trying to take over healthcare, I would have laughed and said that can never happen in the United States. Well, look, it's happened. I mean, our liberties are being taken away every single day by these politicians in D.C. We've got to stop them.
Amen. We need to reclaim.
Reclaim what?
America for the Americans.
How did you lose it?
Government took it right away from us. The union, the Muslims, anybody but standard Americans who care.
Hey, you don't really believe Muslims run America, do you?
It's getting very close.
How does any difference in the commies?
That's their goal.
Ho Chi Minh next. Ho Chi Minh.
I just keep trying to figure out what it is in the water and in the gene pool out in Montana that has people so fearful in this whole thing of the government and guns are going to be taken away and all this. I mean, there isn't any precedent for this sort of stuff. I mean, it's a guy over here who says geezer against health care. Well, the guy's already on Medicare, which is a government program, you know?
And that's one reason I came was because I'm getting tired of seeing this vocal minority shouting people down on TV. And so I just wanted to come and represent the pro-reform side. And it looks like there's a lot of us here.
Hey, 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 Obama has got to go.
Hey, hey, ho, ho. Ooh, look, a big fancy helicopter. Wow.
It's the black helicopter. Uh-oh, the UN is here. I just want to know how I can sign up to be on the death panel.
Yeah,
you know,
I know some people I'd like to nominate for extermination.
Move on, baby. Move on. The Tea Party's coming through. Get your hands off our body. Hands off healthcare.
If you go to single payer and all that kind of stuff, you remove the incentive from anyone to work.
Nonsense.
You remove all that
incentive. People like to work. You know, you can't keep people from working.
You know what the third largest employer in the world is? The British healthcare system. The first largest is the Russian army.
Yeah. Don't you know each other?
No.
Not at all. I'm Tom.
I'm Don McLarty.
Don, very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Dialogue is good. Yeah.
How do you know you can't?
I saw his sign, and we just kind of, we've been ambling around.
We're just walking around doing stuff. He's a single payer. I'm a farmer from Indiana.
He didn't seem to be foaming at the mouth. He looked approachable. That's what America should be about, is dialogue.
We're in conflict over the permit which was given to us in the so-called free speech zone. But you know what? They can do whatever they want over here. We'll do our thing over there.
That's giving up, pal. That's what problem with we have today.
Listen, man,
is we're
you gotta
up.
Fight the bigger battles, brother.
I understand.
These police officers, man, they asked us to try to clear this up because
they gotta
protect the president, man.
Well,
okay?
We're not gonna be
the problem here. Okay, we're not the mob.
They're acting like mobs. We back off just
You're right,
like
for
we
the greater good.
Off.
For the greater good.
I guess.
We fought for this, our forefathers fought for this way back when we fought the tyranny of England. Now we gotta fight the tyranny of an overgrown government, marching us rapidly towards socialism, which began in the Bush administration and has escalated in the Obama administration.
How come this healthcare thing isn't like a debate instead of a shouting match?
Because this happens to be the tipping point. This is the tipping point. We're done. It's over for us. This is the beginning of the second American Revolution. Welcome to it, buddy. You got a front row seat. Welcome to the second American Revolution!
Hey, hey! Ho, ho! Chicago thugs have got to go! Hey, hey! Ho, ho! Chicago thugs have got to go! Hey, hey!
We know that Chicago is a den of iniquity, and he's bringing all of those people into the White House. This is the first time in my life that I have been afraid of my government. I'm 71 years old, and I'm truly afraid of what is going on in government, the socialism. Our president went over and announced in Turkey that we're no longer a Christian nation. That's what we were founded on. They're trying to take God out of everything.
Are you un-American?
No!
Are you racist?
No!
Are you stupid?
No!
Well, then you haven't been listening to NBC and CBS and ABC, because that's what they're telling us.
These people are here because they are scared. They are afraid of losing their constitutional rights and their freedom, and they have every reason to be. Those people you saw today, those un-American, terrible right-wing extremists, I saw little old men, Vietnam vets, handicapped people. They're not anything but concerned citizens of the United States of America. And I've never been an activist in my life. I have never participated in a rally. You ask me why I'm here, and why I'm trained to do whatever it is within my power to save the America that I grew up with. The next step will probably be a full-fledged revolution.
Coming up, a day in the streets of D.C., when we continue with protest marches and musics on Hearing Voices.
Hearing Voices is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people, and the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes a great nation deserves great art. From NPR, this is HearingVoices.com.
Every day, protesters take over Zocalo Plaza in Oaxaca City, Mexico. Bronwyn Zim of QuietAmerican.org recorded this in 2003. You are hearing voices of protest marchers and demonstrators from town halls to the National Mall, which is where this next piece takes place. You're about to hear NPR All Things Considered on their very first day of broadcast, May 3rd, 1971. The host is Robert Conley, the reporter, Jeff Kamen. NPR's theme used to sound like this. And NPR News once sounded like this.
Come on and take a walk with me through this green and growing land. Walk through the meadows and the mountains and the sand. Walk through the valleys and the rivers and the plains. Walk through the sun and walk through the rain. Here is a land full of power and glory. Beauty that words cannot recall. All her power shall rest on the strength of her freedom. Glory shall rest on us all.
Thousands of young people came to Washington willing to risk being arrested in order to end the war. They went into the streets this morning to stop the government from functioning by clogging many Washington roads during this morning's rush hour. For many demonstrators, the mobile street tactics of civil disobedience are an expected spring event. But before today, many other young people who came to Washington had not been willing to oppose the state with their bodies. For these young Americans, today was a major test of their commitment to the ethical code of the young and the angry. It was their Freedom Ride, their Selma March, their May Day.
Stop the war now! Stop the war now! Stop the war now!
123 Army helicopters flying surveillance over this small section of Washington's complicated highway system. A line of young people has just come across the highway. Traffic has stopped. And here come the police. 1, 2, 3, 4 police on motor scooters. One demonstrator knocked down by a motor scooter policeman. Anger now. Anger of the young people. And here come more police.
Come on, people!
The demonstrators just told a motorcycle sergeant that one of his men did knock one of the demonstrators down.
All right, where? Let me get an ambulance down here for you. Motor 3 on the Southwest Freeway. Have one injured down here. Could you send me an ambulance, please? It's right at Main Avenue.
And he hit the kid. It went right through the line.
That guy passed me and almost knocked me down. And a blue...
Yeah, but it's policemen we're talking about.
Not a
policeman.
Not a motorcycle hit him. Not a citizen.
Right there, the man over there. Right there.
Sergeant, excuse me, Jeff Kamen, National Public Radio. Is that a technique where the men actually try to drive the bikes into the demonstrators?
No, it's no technique. We're trying to go down the road and the people get in front. What are you going to do? You don't stop on a dime.
What happened, officer?
That doesn't count. Bricks. That don't count.
Somebody threw a brick at you, officer?
Yes, sir.
Right here? As you were driving through?
Right.
One of the motorcycle police officers says someone threw a brick at him. I was here at the time. I didn't see anything thrown. Army helicopters coming in low. Keeping constant surveillance. Keeping the various command posts, military, police, and obviously presidential, advised as to what's going on. One helicopter now is in real low. Military police helicopter. Up on the rise of this highway section, young people are holding an American flag upside down. A handful of police officers has succeeded in clearing at least half of this roadway. Traffic is flowing again. A Washington, D.C. bus has just arrived. Police officers wearing white riot helmets come out of the bus. They snap on their helmets. Integrated police team. The demonstrators are fleeing. The police officers are carrying or wearing their tear gas masks. The tactic this morning, the citywide tactic, obviously, is to keep the demonstrators on the run.
With almost everybody who wants to get inside the Pentagon already inside, as you make a ring around, you see only a half dozen young people sitting quietly, placidly, across the street from the river entrance of the Pentagon. Now, are you surprised to find yourselves the only ones here?
Yes. There'll be more people later, though, like I said before.
You sure?
Oh, I'm positive. This is where people want to come to.
How do you explain the fact that you're the only ones here so far?
Because there was other things to be done. They had to stop the traffic from getting here first. I think that was the first objective, and then I think now they'll try to get here.
Well, look, there are supposed to be thousands, and there are only six of you.
There's thousands of Marines and thousands of cops, too.
It's easy to get over in small groups, but large crowds really have a rough time. They get busted before they get over.
If you do not move back where you were, you'll be placed under arrest.
You saying that officially? That
yes.
If we do not move,
right on. If you don't go back on the other side.
We're here to take the tour.
We don't have any tours.
That's not what I was told. There's tours through the Pentagon all the time. Where do we go to find out about the tours?
I'm telling you, there's no tours.
Will you give that to us in writing? That there are no tours in the Pentagon?
I tell hundreds of people each day there's no tours. You don't have to write it.
There are never any tours through the Pentagon.
No conducted tours, unless you make previous arrangements.
Now, how did you get here?
I came by boat on the Potomac River.
Is this your boat?
Yes.
Would you describe it?
It's a one-man kayak.
Well, it must be pretty hard to get here if you're the only demonstrator in front of the Pentagon and you had to come by kayak.
No, I'm sure I could have driven a whole lot easier.
Yeah, but anyway, this man is wearing orange, what do you call them, Mae West, is that what you have on?
It's the life preserver.
A life preserver and a white crash helmet. And he carried a green kayak from the Potomac River onto the grounds of the Pentagon. What are you going to do now?
Go back to the Potomac River. Maybe paddle across and go through the reflecting pool, then back upstream.
But surely you must have expected to meet a lot of other people here.
Yes, I did. I'm kind of disappointed.
Washington is literally girded in a series of expressways. And as they come into the city, they overlap in many places. So many places that it seems that wherever the police go to move demonstrators, demonstrators are still able to move elsewhere.
All the pigs came running out and just spraying mace and grabbing people, and they just got them all over to the side, and it was over as fast as it started.
Were they careful about who they maced?
No. There was a priest up there I saw. There were some straight-looking people. You know, they were just... I mean, they were macing them in the back, you know, which I can't dig. You know, I mean, they were already running, and they were chasing them with the mace in their hair and in their ears and the back of their neck, and there's, you know... They were running away, not towards.
And they maced them in the back?
Yeah. I mean, they all were being maced in the back. The march never went forward. It was always being back down here as a retreat. And instantly, it was like stopped and turned around, and the whole time they were just macing them in the back.
I see you're wearing Red Cross insignia. You're part of the medical cadre of the demonstration?
Yes.
Two police officers just grabbed two demonstrators. They were just walking. Officers are now searching the pockets of the demonstrators. One demonstrator is forced to lean over the stone wall. Search is peaceful but unprovoked. Tear gas is being fired outside the Department of Agriculture. There weren't a lot of demonstrators here, but when the police moved out, they grabbed as many long-haired young people as they could find. Grabbed them and searched them. Put them up against walls, buses, cars. Searched them. Today in the nation's capital, it is a crime to be young and have long hair.
At this point, some of these demonstrators are stopping traffic, lying down in the roadway, stopping traffic on the access route to the Theodore Roosevelt Bridge, which leads into Virginia from Washington. It's right below the Lincoln Memorial.
You are hearing voices. We continue with NPR All Things Considered, 1971, from Washington, D.C.
A group of people.
Please stop.
A group of people are here. They have stopped traffic.
Get him!
Get him! A policeman. Police are making rather widespread use of this tear gas. They just got shot with it. Groups of demonstrators have attempted to stop traffic. They have not succeeded. They've stopped traffic only momentarily, and police moved in with such a show of force that the demonstrators were forced away. The police have been making very free use of tear gas, and at one point I saw two policemen pinning down a young man, and one policeman was punching him in the whatever. I couldn't see if he was punching him in the face or the stomach, but I did see him repeatedly punch the young man. And then he was led away to be arrested.
Here are a number of young people who've been gassed. How you feeling?
All right, my eyes are burning a little bit. My skin burns. I always react this way to gas.
I'm fine, brother. We're going to shut the fucking city if it takes all day.
Are they going to stop you today?
It looks that way. It's just, you know, it's just so disorganized. You know, like I was hoping that we could just, go in en masse somewhere and just sit down and then just... You know, be peacefully arrested.
There's not enough people in
but,
one place.
But I don't know, the scare tactics are working, I'm afraid.
Officer, can you tell us what the arrest is for, please?
That's what I've been trying to get him to tell me.
The young man wearing a Vietnam Veterans Against the War badge has been arrested. Another young man has been arrested.
You can tell me. I don't know where to arrest.
No.
Can you tell us what the charge is, officer?
Back.
Press, officer.
Back. You can't come in front of the police line.
That's okay. Go ahead.
How about the press card?
No, not in front of police lives today.
Well, I just don't know how much more running we can do and how much more gassing we can take. I really think that we could achieve our tactic by taking a long time to get arrested, without resisting, with being nonviolent.
Independence Avenue in Washington, choked with tear gas, as are not only demonstrators, but people who happen to be on the streets. More tear gas, people vomiting on the street. Not a lot of demonstrators here in the area of the Washington Monument. Lots of tear gas.
I was with this one kid who was busted, right? And he walked into a police car clean. His face was clean, right? I'm sitting here now, handcuffed behind his back. We walked him here now, police ambulance, blood all over his face and bloody. He couldn't move. And we saw this kid walk into a car clean.
Now, what happened to you?
Well, I
was by DuPont Circle, and like we was peaceful. This pig gonna jump out the car and start beating on us.
And
Washington Square, when the cop busted me, they put me in the car. I was peaceful. Then when they got me in the car, he said, "You're stupid, kid." And he whacked me with the billy club while in the car.
Right there in the eye?
Right.
11 stitches.
Yeah.
And it goes right up through the side of the eye, up into your eyelid.
Yeah.
Is this going to stop you?
No.
They haven't scared you off?
No.
This is the very thing you're protesting about, man. They're doing the very thing that, you're trying to end. They're coming and just beating heads. It's done all over the world, and they're doing it at home. They don't really care, who they do it to, as long as they maintain the status quo, whoever,
Yeah, the cop that busted me said, he said, "How old are you?" I said, 19. He said, "How come you're not in the Army?" I said, I didn't say anything. I didn't, he said, "You're chicken," and started hitting me.
A cop jumped out the bus and said, "We're going to kill y'all and be y'all damn people." Because we didn't want any trouble. He gonna holler, "Well, you gonna get trouble." Basically tried to run over me with the coal. After he get out the coal, he gonna start beating on me. There's no room for nonviolence. The only way you gonna beat this dog on me is to use the tactics he used. Hell, after spending 13 months in Vietnam and come back here and get my ass kicked, I don't need it.
What about the younger people who were there with you? Do you think that they learned something? People who hadn't been in Vietnam, who hadn't had your experience at seeing violence?
Yes, they learned something. They learned that the only way you can beat force is with force.
What are you going to do for the rest of this week?
What am I going to do? Keep on protesting.
But you just told me that the only way to meet the violence of the establishment is with violence.
When they hit me, I'm going to slug them back.
Do you think you can do that, considering the fact that they have...
I'm trying.
Four cops would jump on top of someone inside the car and club them on their heads till they couldn't see or till they couldn't talk anymore, and then bring them here like they were beat up or fell down by themselves before. And most of the people weren't doing anything at all. I mean, very few people were putting barricades into the streets.
We were standing down on the corner, and a busload of police came up, and they seemed to be really pouring out of the bus. And I didn't know what to do, so, I ran like hell. And I was running along. Someone clubbed me in the stomach, but, my coat protected me. And then I was running through a parking lot, and someone threw a club at me.
Threw a club at you?
Yeah, threw a club at me.
Is that why you have that large chunk taken out of your hair and the stitches in the back of your head?
Yeah, that's why.
How do you feel?
Mad.
It strikes me, having been all around the city and observing police action, that their tactic is to frighten people into not doing it again. Do you think that that's going to work?
No, I hope not. I don't know, but I hope not.
No.
No, I'm staying in Washington.
I think it could work. I'm not sure. Being realistic about it.
While the helicopters hovered overhead almost incessantly, the emergency room at George Washington University Hospital was being jammed to the overflowing. The Reverend Dr. Herbert Gardner, a minister, was volunteering inside. He was outside taking a needed break. Reverend, what's it like inside?
Sir, it's like never seen anything like it before. So many policemen, regular demonstrators are all together with their heads cracked open one way or another, yesterday and last week it was nothing but acid heads that took too much acid with strychnine, which is rat poisoning. And this week it seems to be, starting Sunday, seems to be real vicious of violence, such as cracked heads and bruises and breaking ribs. Most of the people, what we talked, from what we heard and what they told us, and we're only just going on what they told us, was that the police sort of aggravated the situation by charging in with groups with their club swinging and people putting saying we give up and putting their hands over their heads, and they're still getting clubbed. And they're not getting finished clubbed until the police are satisfied. The reason is we've had at least four policemen within an hour with heads gashed, which is unbelievable. I don't know where anybody could pick up the weapons to hurt a policeman when he's got a gun.
Now, Reverend Gartner, you yourself are a disabled Vietnam veteran.
That's correct.
How does all this strike you, given that perspective of having been severely wounded in Vietnam?
Sir, it's another Saigon. Today is another Saigon.
A young Washington police officer on duty in the same area had a different perception of reality from that of the injured or our reporter.
Where we're standing now, a demonstrator dropped that tear gas. I stood right across the street and watched him. I just couldn't get over in time to get to him.
The demonstrator dropped
some tear gas. We haven't thrown tear gas yet up here. The demonstrators have been throwing it. They got these little, in the green bags that they carry around, they have tear gas in there. The tear gas is not hard to get. I believe in what these people are trying to achieve, but I don't believe in violence. I'm not violent myself unless somebody directs bodily harm towards me. The only thing is just to keep the crowd moving. Don't let them block traffic. Their main desire was to block traffic, to hold everything up, just to stop the city from moving. Our main function was just to keep them moving. If they stopped, arrest them. That's all. We got the order just to arrest the demonstrators. While all these people, the white shirts, are standing, they were the ones that were blocking the traffic. I say we should arrest them also. I arrested one and it made me let him go. Because he lived around here, and I don't believe in it. If you're wrong, you're wrong. At first it was just arrest the demonstrators, and then after they saw that the white collar workers were just standing there getting in the way, said to arrest everybody. So I'm gonna tell you, the only way this department is gonna change is if they get rid of these old policemen. A lot of the old policemen I've talked to have believed in the old ideas of grabbing somebody and just beating the hell out of them. I believe if you can talk to a man, talk to somebody man to man, and they understand you, everything should be fine. But they want to grab somebody, start hitting them across the head, and just doing outlandish things that I don't agree with personally. Some of the demonstrators are here just for peace, but like the Weathermen organization, they're here just to do as much bodily damage as they can. And that's it. They're not here, I don't think they believe in the cause. Because all they want to do is just come here and see somebody and just start chaos, that's all.
The officer said in general he felt that the demonstrators were fairly treated by police. The reaction to the demonstration by Washington office workers was mixed.
I spent last night in my office on a cot so that I'd be able to work this morning. That was quite an inconvenience. As long as this demonstration is nonviolent, it has my sympathy, but with those who use force and use violence and throw stones, there is no sympathy.
I don't think they've been as effective as they might have been. I have my doubts about the effectiveness of something like this, but I guess they have to try what they feel will work. They seem desperate enough.
If it does not create a backlash, I think it is probably a very effective way of changing public opinion and the policy of the government, certainly in the long run.
I see it a lot. They was blocking traffic, going on, fighting, beating them up, which they know they're mad. They know
they're
mad.
You mean the police were beating them?
Yeah, the police is beating them. They know the young people are mad. Why don't you come around? It's a gun, demonstrate in peace. And everybody join together and live in America together. That's what I believe in. Uh-huh. It's not only here, it's all over the state of America. The whole world should live more quiet. That's the way I feel like it. And let them have more freedom. And everybody come together. As long as you beat me and knock me up, you know I'm going to be mad for the next 10 years. It's wrong, ain't it? Yeah. I knock you down here on the street today, you going to feel something against me for the next 10 years. Let them have a freedom, and let it be willing from their hearts. That's the only thing gonna beat this young generation. Except that, it's gonna get worse. We all should live for peace. That's right, and I want to see my color, black and white, come together and live for peace.
My reaction to this is, the police, the army are over there harassing people. You cannot walk along the streets in groups of five in a peaceful manner. If you did, you'd be forced to break up or probably even be arrested behind that action. People being harassed, tear gassed, also beaten with the clubs by police. Acting like the Nazis did. The Gestapo over there just harassing people and macing them, tear gassing them. You can't walk along the streets peacefully. It's very hard to, you know, do anything over there because of so much piggish people over there.
Do you feel that there should be more black folks involved in this May Day demonstrations?
There definitely should be black folks involved in it because black folks are the one over there in Vietnam, you know. Black folks should be in it, definitely. I, as a black, feel that they should because their brothers over there dying.
Like all this time, they've been talking about what they're going to do, and they knew before they came here that nonviolence wouldn't accomplish anything. So they just sat around when it came time for them to get down. They skied. That was it. I think we should have been here, but like I'm here watching it, because if the black man didn't want to go to Vietnam, he shouldn't have gone. And we can't participate in something for peace when we don't even have freedom, man. You know, it's ridiculous.
Demonstration organizers held a meeting assessing today's action.
We have never claimed, and I certainly never thought, that we were going to win a military victory over thousands of troops. But we definitely, I think everyone in this city had their lives disrupted and had to think about the war in Vietnam.
You had someone that certain areas were tied up for as much as 2.5 hours. Every one of us was at one place or another this morning, and none of us saw this. This is what we're saying.
Yeah. I think that the questions that have been asked here are legitimate, in that no, it is true that we didn't stop, paralyze the city this morning, but on the other hand, we've never been involved in this type of a demonstration. Tomorrow morning, a lot of things are going to be much more together. Things like getting there at the proper time. We've been discussing in the office the fact that by 7 o'clock this morning, we had 1,000 demonstrators already in jail when the traffic flow hadn't even reached its peaks. So tomorrow, you know, we'd ask that the media get out that the demonstration doesn't start until 7 or 7 o'clock. And I think that you'll see that we'll be much more successful in the morning.
This is what democracy looks like.
Tell me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Tell me what America looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Tell me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Tell me what America looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Tell me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Bob Goldberg of the Band Radio Orchestra. I found that online at anotherprotestsong.org. And Jeffrey Kamen's report from the nation's capital aired on the debut broadcast of NPR's All Things Considered, May 3rd, 1971. thanks to Peak Recording of Bozeman, Montana. I'm Barrett Golding, and there's links to everything in this hour at hearingvoices.com.
Hearing Voices is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people, and the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes a great nation deserves great art. Our producers are Scott Carrier, Ann Hepperman, Larry Massett, and Kara Oler. Our intern is Max Darum. Mix engineer is Robin Wise of soundimagery.com. Executive producer is Barrett Golding. From NPR, National Public Radio, this is hearingvoices.com.